You're listening to Copeland Morgan Media, your source for investment property analysis, education, and advice. Find us online at copelandmorgan.com. Hey guys, it's Jeff Copeland with Copeland Morgan. I'm here with our quick tip of the week. This week's question comes from Todd in Tampa, Florida.
When I've been looking at multifamilies and specifically single families with ADUs in Pinellas and Hillsborough, I keep on coming across where the ADUs aren't permitted on the, at least on the Pinellas County appraiser site. What's the worst case scenario if I was to buy a property that either doesn't have a permit, like say for instance, the ADU is counted as an unfinished garage, but it's been converted to a studio. So it's never had a CO, nothing's been permitted. What's the worst case scenario that can happen?
Sure, that's a loaded question, but the first answer is what is the zoning? St. Pete recently softened its stance on ADUs and NT1 and NT2, which are neighborhood traditional one, neighborhood traditional two, your traditional single family home districts. They generally now do allow an accessory dwelling unit subject to setback requirements from the lot line and separation requirements from the other structure and size. You know, you can't have an ADU that's five times bigger than the house. So if the zoning allows it, that's good. If the zoning doesn't allow it, then you're out of luck. You're not going to be able to legitimize or permit that ADU. Now, if you have a property in a zoning district that allows the accessory dwelling unit, but it was never permitted in the first place, it's possible to go back to the city. And I guess there's kind of two ways to do it. You can go back in the case of a garage conversion, maybe it was done poorly and it just needs to be redone. You can go back to the city and say, hey, I want to convert this garage space to an ADU. You have to get an architect to draw up the plans. They submit the plans and it goes through the fire marshal and the building department and zoning and everything else. You get approved plans from the city. You pull a permit, you get a general contractor, you build whatever you want that conforms to your plans. In the case of something that was maybe built out quite nicely, but it was never permitted, it's possible to go back to the city and get what they call after the fact permits. You have to pay double for the permits. You have to get an engineer to sign off and all that to get the permits approved. I would venture to guess most people would only do that if they got the nasty letter from the city that said, hey, we noticed you're renting an unpermitted accessory dwelling unit. It was unpermitted and now it's a code violation. And then you have to go through the process in reverse, pull the after the fact permits, get it permitted. There are companies, there's one locally called Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L Engineering, that kind of specialize in after the fact permits and getting things like that through the city. But it's generally, it's something you generally do when you get caught. Mm-hmm. And especially if you bought it like that, you can honestly say, I didn't know, it's always been like that. I bought it this way. Tell me what I have to do to fix it, you know, Mr. Code Enforcement. It usually starts with a code violation. The good news is as soon as you pull a permit, it closes out the codes case. Now it belongs to the building department. So that's kind of how the scenario tends to play out. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. But if it doesn't meet the setbacks, then in that case,
then you could request a variance. There's a whole process to go before the zoning board and say, well, it's a hardship. I can't move it. Can I please get a variance? You might have to get your neighbors to sign off on it. There's a process and it's a lot of red tape and dealing with the bureaucratic city departments, but it's not impossible either.
Okay, cool.
In most cases, just keep your mouth shut unless you get caught and then jump through the hoops and the red tape when you have to.
Would that be a deal breaker for you?
In most cases, no. I have some properties that I manage where there might be a fourth unit that it technically is not supposed to be there. A lot of people get away with it for years and years. Most things are only enforced by complaint. So if your neighbor complains, hey, he's renting out that downstairs and it was never permitted, well, now code enforcement comes knocking and calamity ensues. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have good tenants that are quiet, not causing problems, not throwing parties in the backyard, not disturbing the neighbors, most places get away with it. I'm not saying you should, I'm certainly not giving legal or zoning or planning advice, and I'm not going against the city of St. Pete or any city for that matter, but it is done all the time. Kind of like the same with an Airbnb. Everybody does it. Nobody's supposed to be doing it. If you get busted by code enforcement, now you got to jump through the hoops.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to the Copeland Morgan Media Real Estate Podcast. As you can imagine, producing this great educational content takes a lot of effort and commitment on our part. We only ask one thing in return. Please subscribe to our podcast using your favorite podcast app or by visiting copelandmorgan.com/podcast. And remember, there's no greater compliment than referring us to a friend or colleague. Until next time, I'm Jeff Copeland.